Hello and welcome to In The Back Pocket. Gather Round is one and done, and we've got another round of football coming up. Isaac Smith, Kate McCarthy and Speedball Head, how are you?
Very good. Nice of you.
He's cropped a few of them in the last week.
It was a good week for me. It was a great week. I was kissing back. I've never been more popular. But let's get into the footy this weekend. The premiership odds we kick off with, and has it changed? The Giants were the favourites last week, and they still are. So it's getting tight at the top. Collingwood did get out to as much as $12. That's where Brisbane are at the moment, and the Cats at $12 without a loss yet, the Geelong Footy Club.
Yeah, Geelong were in the 20s only a couple of weeks ago. I feel like they're disrespected slightly. They've got 8 games left at home. They play North this week. They're 4-0. They're in a really good spot.
Yeah, you look at the two other undefeated teams, Carlton and GWS, they're a lot shorter than Geelong. And if you look at the experience that they've had with winning premierships, I don't know why they're that far out.
Coleman middle market as well. So it is tight at the top. You see the top two, Charlie Kerner, Jesse Hogan, Harry Mackay have started the year well. I don't think Jeremy Cameron can win it. I think he plays too high to win that award. All the way down to Tommy Hawkins, who's $21, probably looks the value there. And Joe Danaher at 18.
Yeah, look, Charlie Kerner's going to be hard to beat. Clearly, and the odds are reflective of that. But Hogan's kicked 16 already, and GWS is going to win a lot of games of football. So what a season it would be, and what a turnaround in his career if he can claim the Coleman.
I tracked the Brownlow very closely, and I've done this for a couple of seasons now. Here is my Brownlow tracker. And Isaac Heaney, I've got voting in every game so far. 13. So he's 5 votes clear of Connor Rozee. And Connor Rozee probably should have a 3 around round 4.
Are they your votes?
They are my votes. They're my votes. They are my votes. And then Zach Merritt at the moment, he's going okay. Matty Rowell started the season well, but that is my Brownlow tracker. Isaac Heaney out in front.
Yeah, and well, Dacos got off to a hot start last year, didn't he, Brownie? You told me he could almost not lose and then got injured late, so long way to go. A lot can happen, but a good start.
Yeah, disappointing it was last year for Nick Dacos and David King. But let's talk about something else. Melbourne up against the Brisbane Lions. This is a brilliant game and a cracking game on a Thursday night. A battle of two big midfields. Lachie Neal's in there. Christian Petrarca's in there. Clayton Oliver, a bit of a sore hand, so you feel like Christian Petrarca plays more on ball list tonight.
Yeah, and he did look sore, I guess, the game last week against Port Adelaide. So I think those two there, so Lachie Neal and Christian Petrarca. Christian Petrarca averages 26 against Brisbane, 27 for the season, and Neal averages 26 for the season. Obviously, he had 27 last week being subbed out at three-quarter time and averages 24 against Melbourne. So that 25 sort of could be the way for Lachie Neal, I think, against Melbourne, given what he's done previously.
Well, one's a finisher and one's a starter. Neal gets the hands out. Brisbane looked very ordinary without Neal this year as well. So, massive game for them. Looking forward to see what they deliver, and I think they can maybe sneak over the line here.
Danaher and Hipwood found some form last week against the Kangaroos. It was a good side to play against. Stephen May, the courageousness of him to play last week. Now, we both had sore ribs leading into the fight and after the fight last week. Imagine playing a game of football with those ribs, but he went back with the flight time and time again. And these guys, these two, as good as they are last week, they give up a lot of possessions. Combin had 25 last week. So for me, Stephen May gets a stack of the football. Not plus sure. He takes the kickouts.
Courageousness is a word.
Isn't it?
So, I don't know. I would have thought courage.
Yeah.
The courage that he showed.
Courageousness.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
We've got the fighter, we've got the scholar.
Look, yeah. I could be wrong. But,
fair enough.
But your point is right. He's got smashed ribs and he goes and takes on Taylor Walker. The thing I love about him is not only does he get a whole lot of the footy, as we've seen there, but he also takes the opposition's best forward.
Yeah, and you could tell he was sore during that game, especially the first quarter. He warmed up nicely into it. But yeah, huge lot of courage that he's shown to get back into that. But I think the matchup probably works in his favour. They're very Danaher and Hipwood-centric at the Lions. I think that's something they'll try to change this week, obviously with the two down there of May and Lever, but I still think he'll get plenty of the footy.
All right, so that brings us to On Notice.
I like it.
What a drone stinger.
I like about that. I've called for it, I've demanded it, and I've got it. So they are too reliant on Hipwood and Danaher, but the smalls around them, they're stacked. So McCarthy, Bailey, and the man who's on notice is Cam Rayner. I mean, he's kicked 3 goals for the year, Cam Rayner. He's a number one pick. It is his 7th year of football. When is it going to emerge that he breaks out and becomes a player that we think he can? And I thought that had happened in the final series against Port Adelaide last year. He was just enormous. Single-handedly, you know, almost lit the fire for Brisbane in that game. But I haven't seen enough of it. So it is now his time to actually break out and really rip this game apart.
If I was him, I'd go and watch Jordan DeGully clips. the way he improved his game, he was that just forward that had impact on the game, but now he can go all across the field and impact the ground.
Or Petrarca.
Yeah, and he's got those traits. I'm just not sure he's got the tank.
I don't think they've used him through the middle as much as they did last year either. In that game against Port, went into a lot of centre bounce clearances. They haven't used him in that way this year so far. And I'm with you. I think that's what the missing link is. Put him through there. Get him around the footy. Don't worry about Charlie Cameron and McCarthy. They do their work in the forward line. Mm. But get Cameron up and around the ball and get the ball forward.
It hurts them that they don't flip the magnets. Yeah. They just put them in their positions at Brisbane and they just leave them there.
So Kadeen Coleman off the half-back line and Dane Zorko. So his move to half-back has been a success. His last 2 weeks have been fantastic. Big numbers. So obviously after the Dockers game, he goes and plays half-back, has 30 and 28. But I reckon it's a bit of a watch this week because I feel like Melbourne are probably the best side with their half-forwards at restricting. So think about Alex Neil-Bullen, maybe Sparrow rolls through there. So those players are defensively minded, which might make it hard for Zorko.
They're really good defensively. Even someone like Chandler. It's not a direct tag, but any time Zorko is looking to get one around the back like you were very good at doing, you're going put a body on him and you don't allow
going around the back.
Is that a clear clip?
It felt like it clicked to me.
The one thing I will say about Zorko, though, is he will give 2% respect to the half forward at Melbourne.
One,
maybe. So he will go and play his game, and Fagan and the coaches up there would have given him the license to say, mate, we want you to generate attack for us, and we don't care what you do. And we've got Harris Andrews and a few other defenders back there. They'll cover your man.
A bit of spite in this game. What's it like? Well, we've seen the Petty and Zorko. They've had barbs, and Petty was quite upset in a game at the Gabba, and there's a bit of history between these two teams. I hope there's a bit of feeling, and I hope Brisbane play like that because their season is genuinely
very stagged all over before.
Correct, and that got a bit frosty as well. So in terms of rivalries, I think this is good. MCG, Brisbane's form there has been questioned. They got to stand up tonight.
And they've got a massive 3 weeks. They've got Melbourne tonight, Geelong, and then GWS. So they have to win two of these three.
It is a good one. I tell you what, you've been on fire with your same game multis lately. So kick us off for the weekend. Everybody's just waiting for them.
Yeah, so I've gone with the three goal kickers for this week. So I think Zach Bailey will get down there and get amongst the goal kickers. The man that you just mentioned, Neil Bullen, anytime goal scorer. He hasn't been goalless against Brisbane in the past 5 games. And Lincoln McCarthy, I think with Charlie Cameron not in form, he is the one that's looking up and about and really lively in the Brisbane forward line. And I've got him down for a cheeky 2 goals. So
good price.
It'll give you $8.75 if you get on that one. And make sure you get on it and follow us all on the feed.
Yeah,
absolutely. Where you can see all about same game multis.
I gave you a follow this morning because you've been that good. So on the feed, you can just follow Kate and you can just copy a bet straight in. I follow Brownie. I now follow you. You're the only three people I follow.
You took that long to follow Kate.
Yeah, I've followed you for 5 weeks. So thanks for that.
I just wanted her to prove herself. And then she's done that. And she's been on fire. So.
Were you one of those guys that never talked to the new draftee until he proved himself?
Yeah, you've got to earn the respect.
I'll tell you what is going to be a big game is the Saturday night clash between Port Adelaide and Fremantle Dockers. Both sides game. I thought Fremantle were brilliant last week, not being able to kick enough goals. Soldo going to Port Adelaide has allowed that midfield clearances out of the middle. Ollie Wines comes back. Does that disrupt it?
Yeah, well, I think Ollie Wines probably takes Travis Boak's spot if he doesn't get up with that back injury.
Boak's been playing on the wing.
I don't want to see Wines on the wing. So don't give me any Wines replacing Boak on the wing. He's an inside midfielder, but how does he get back in? Because Willem Drew's taken that spot. Butters Rosie on France.
If I'm a winger at Freo, I want Wines on the wing.
Yeah, that's it. So this is what they did. They absolutely destroyed Essendon. Now, I don't expect this to be the case against Fremantle because they got Jackson and potentially Darcy back in. Sarong, Young and Brayshaw are a far superior midfield to what Essendon were. But the ability for those to get on the outside, once they get out there with the speed that they've got, it's good night. But your point on Soldo's really well made, Brownie, because you can see the contest that he makes in here, and they didn't have that last year with Lysett. So their recruits have been pretty good. I think Radicalia has his brain fades, but has been solid. Zerk Thatcher's surprise, he's been excellent. And Soldo in the ruck has given them something.
You'd have to say that Port Adelaide have recruited in the last 3 or 4 years better than any other club. Getting Rioli in as a small forward, that was a great get out of West Coast. And then the 3 or 4 they added over the offseason.
Well, Francis helps.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a nice little one as well.
Hey, so Sean Darcy comes back. I've been backing Luke Jackson for disposals. That's what he's been doing in the ruck. So it might be goal scoring this week for Luke Jackson. So there's 24, 23, 21. I don't think he can get those numbers because I feel like they're going to split their time in the ruck. Darcy has to play majority ruck. If they're both in there, Luke Jackson, does he become a second on ball? I'm not sure, but I'd be leaning away from disposals for Jackson this week.
This is a real headache, I think, now for Fremantle. They thought that they had two probably of the best that they could and were going to work them through and leave Jackson forward, give Darcy a majority of the ruck time. But it has been like the Grundy-Gorn experiment now that they've seen one own the position. They've really excelled with just Luke Jackson there. So what do they do? I'm really excited to see how they solve this problem and where it looks like it's going from here on.
It's got to be forward for Jackson. It has to be because their forward line is a mess. I said a miss. But it's both.
Yeah.
He hasn't got going after 41 goals last year. Tabiner, meh. And yeah. Tracy is a good how he plays.
I think it's a great problem to have.
Apologies
the
to
Darcy the Darcy Jackson. And the beauty is they've signed Darcy to 2030.
So, why is it a good problem to have?
Well, if it doesn't work, you own the commodity. So you can trade him, and everyone's always after Ruckman.
What if he says, I don't want to get traded? I'm really happy. I've got 7 years.
It's opening up, and it's easier. But Jackson's a unicorn. He's like Mark Blitzarves. You can put him inside mid. You can put him centre forward. You can put him in the ruck. You could probably even put him on the
wing. A mythical beast.
Yeah, mythical. Mm. He's got one horn.
He's a ruckman, okay? He's a ruckman.
Yeah, but sometimes to win premierships, Kane, you don't necessarily play in your preferred position.
Okay.
The old unicorn, hey? So, as I always say, the trend is your friend, and the trend right now is the kickouts and easy possessions for players. Have a look at Luke Ryan. 8 kickouts last week for 8 play-ons, 100% of the time. So that's 8 free kicks. If you're backing him for 20, you're halfway there almost. Sheasel gave up one. Not sure about these players that don't play on for a start. Nick Blakey, that's the first one in about 500 kickouts you've had since your career started. Don't continue to do that. But if you're not backing these players, you're not following the trend and you need to back them.
Yeah, it's free disposals.
Free disposals it is. Certainly it is. Okay, so that is that game. We're going to preview the big Friday night game, the Western Bulldogs up against the Bombers. That's next. All right, kick the punters off, Kate, with a good same-game multi for the weekend.
Yeah, so I've gone with the man that you just mentioned, Max Gawn, 15+. Matt Crouch, 25 disposal. He gets a lot of the footy, so I think he should be good for that. Cozzy Pickett, I think he's in great goal-kicking form at the moment. And Josh Rochelli, I think anytime goal scorer, I think he's good for a goal in that game as well.
Kate has been in ripping form with the same game multis. You can follow her, you can follow any of us on the feed. Very easy to go in and then copy the bet. But I tell you what, you're just putting us to shame at the moment.
Yeah, I put that together myself as well. Very good work.
But, best thing about that vision is I think Kane's chair was lowered a little bit.
Okay, let's talk about Friday night. So it is the Western Bulldogs up against the Bombers, and we're hearing a lot about the Essendon edge at the moment. Didn't see the edge last. It was more like a love handle last week. There was no edge to it at all.
Blunt butter knife, wasn't it, last week? And the Western Bulldogs on this ground, they're a different proposition at Marvel. They play it so well. They move the ball really quickly, and their forward line looks a lot more dangerous under the roof. So I suspect they'll kick a big score, and I don't think the edge will be back again this week.
So let's have a look at the Bombers' chances to make the top eight. So they're out to $4.20. I think they're about a little bit over $2 at the start of the season. There were some high hopes for them, but at the moment, $4.20. But they're a side that you don't know what you're going to get. So they could come out, they could blow the Dogs away, or they could lose by 10 goals themselves. As a punter, it's a nightmare club to back.
Yeah, they are. I think both of these clubs are a bit of a nightmare to back because week in, week out, they dish up something completely different. I think the Bulldogs last week, it was a real test for them against Geelong, and I sort of marked it down as one where we were going to find out what we could about the Bulldogs, and they played so well, I thought. I thought they competed all the way to the end. Arguably could have won at different times, but Geelong just a bit too strong. But if they turn up the way that they tend to against teams that are maybe their equal or a little bit less, it's a real danger game for the Bulldogs, but the Bombers are the same.
The only thing I will say is Marvel Stadium's different football. And Essendon seem to play better football at Marvel Stadium. It suits their makeup a little bit better. So, yeah, it's a toss of the coin, this one.
So two things collide this week. Zach Merritt's form and the fact that the Western Bulldogs don't tag either, which allows a lot of ball through the middle. So that's what he's done so far this year. I mean, he's a pretty small price to go 25+, but it's not bad to go into your same game multis to boost it up. But at 30+, $1.65, we're still pretty short, but that's one that you'd look at for your same game multis. Zach Merritt with no tag this week.
Don't mind him at 30+. No Archie Perkins. Perkins, Durham potentially coming back from that concussion, but there's no one really in there to take those numbers off him. Parrish and Merritt will get a stack of it. Setterfield not playing as well. So Essendon's midfield has been decimated. No Shield there still. So he's the one, and they probably need him to get 30-plus to have any hope to win this game.
So we thought that the Bombers weren't going to be able to handle the Tools this season with players going out of the side. Obviously, they have Mackay coming back in, but they've handled the Tools. It's been the smaller players, the general forwards, that have really bothered them. So you look at Cody Waitman, who's been in sparkling form so far this season, and that's what he's done the last four games against the Bombers. And I think he's in the best form of his career at the moment. He's learned how to work. He's learned how to get the ball in the air and on the ground, and he's getting his goals in multiple ways at the moment.
All right. He's having a breakout year. And when you're looking, and often it's hard in all Australian meetings to select those small forwards. Charlie Cameron's probably had the position on him, but if he keeps going like this, look out. He was taken with pick 15 in 2019. Cozzy Pickett was taken with pick 12. Question for you, who would you take now? Cozzy Pickett? Okay, well.
I like Pickett. I like his aggression. I like his edge. And that's taking nothing away from Cody Waitman, but I'm a big
I think
fan.
That's the right answer, but he does average 1.75 goals a game. Pickett's just about 1.4.
Like Waitman. I like his blonde hair. I like how he's a bit leery.
Yeah, well, that's
I
you.
I do like that. I like them both, to be honest. But you're taking Pickett?
I think I'd...
You're taking question without notice, obviously. He had to answer.
I'm going to take Cody Waitman because I've been told that many times that him and I look like twins. So I have to stick with my man. I do the half up, half down.
Kate Waitman.
But also, I would like to make the point, he's actually younger than me, so he looks like me.
Very
nice. Okay, so let's talk about Sam Darcy. Sam Darcy was brilliant last week. His dad had a really good crack at you last week, and he came out and played some good footy.
I think the thing with Sam Darcy is people are talking about like it's a breakout game and things. He's actually never been able to put consistent football together due to injuries, and they're not injuries of his body letting him down. He had a hole in the lung and a collapsed lung last year that he didn't know about for weeks. He had a little bit of a knee complaint, but he also had a small fracture in his jaw. So he's not been able to string consistent games together since he was taken at pick two. And now we've seen Beveridge put a little bit of faith in him, give him a couple of runs at it, and he's been able to repay the faith, and he's looking really good.
And if you like him for 4+, he's going to get a matchup that you would think there's no one that can go with him, because Norton's always probably going to get the best one, or you, Hagen, and then he's going to get their third one, and he's going to have 15 centimetres on the next tallest defender. So yeah, there's some value there. He kicked 3 last week. See if he can go one better and get some value there.
Dogs are pretty good last week, so you're happy with them against the Bombers?
Yeah, I am. I just think they've got too many weapons in their side. The midfield was on fire last week. Libba's one of the best midfield games I've ever seen. Like, the tenacity that guy plays with is like Jack Viney for me. They're the two most tenacious players. Bont was on fire, and I just feel like the forward line hasn't clicked yet. Norton just 4 goals for the year. Hugo Hagen hasn't hit his straps, but at some point that's going to come, and I suspect it comes this week.
All tipping the Dogs?
Yeah, but I think Essendon will play a lot better than what they dished
up. No buts.
No, I'm just sitting on the fence. You either like them or you don't.
No, you can sit on the fence.
You can sit on the fence.
No fence in the media, Isaac.
Luke Darcy sat on the fence.
All right, let's have a look at the next game. It is Gold Coast up against Hawthorn. So Hawthorn were a lot better last week, even though they got 38 points behind. But the Gold Coast Suns put in a great effort with the man of changes they had in that game against the Giants. But before we get into that game, let's talk about Kate Rates.
Here we go.
Cody Waitman.
Yeah, Cody Rates. Well, the arms have never looked bigger than they have in that. So finally got a sting. That's beautiful. Kate Rates this week. So looking a little bit, combining this with our value hunters as well. So Blake Hardwick last week to kick 3+ goals, he was paying $34. So we had someone get on that. He kicked the 4. He kicked 4 in the second half alone. So he was the one that they flipped forward. So Sam Mitchell went to him, put him in the forward line. He took 7 marks, 5 of those were inside 50, and basically turned the game on his head. Isaac and I were doing that game, and he was our man. We were just watching for the ball to go to him, and every single time he delivered. He played so well, but he had this ability, as you get from moving from the defence to the forward line, you know to read the footy, so you don't move unnecessarily like some forwards need to or have to or tend to do when they're leading. So he just watched the ball come in, he read it off the boot, and 9 times out of 10, he beat his defender to it because he just read it well.
And he played forward as a junior as well. I think he kicked 12 goals in a TAC Cup game, which was pretty good. And he's a good kick. He takes the kick out. So have a look at this. That is a beautiful strike of the football.
He looked like a forward playing forward, and he kicked like a forward. the beauty, and we talked about it, he pulled his defender away and created the space, which Hawthorn previous weeks haven't looked great at having space to kick into. He was able to create the space for the player to kick into, and then he worked into it, and he made uncontested marks in the end. He was really impressive.
And we know the Wizard's still out, Wizard Watson, and Bruce. Does he play forward again? Does he have to play to play him forward?
And when he plays forward, you take him out of defence. So they're actually ranked 17 at defending general forwards, Hawthorn. So you look at players, I think this week, like a Malcolm Rosas, who's kicked goals in every game this season. So they rank number 17 at defending general forwards. That's not big forwards, that's general forwards. And that's what Rosas has done in his last four games. So I like him. And I found some value for you. You'll love this. So Malcolm Rosas, 2+ goals. That goes into the same game, Maldi, which I'll bring up. But Matty Real and Flanders, both in the midfield. Flanders has now gone to half back. So this is what is going on at the moment. Matty Real, pretty similar numbers. He's $1.85. Very similar numbers for Flanders, and he's 25+ at $1.33. In the press conference, Sam Mitchell did say we might need to make a note of how good he is playing at halfback. So the value is with Matty Rao there. Any takers on that one?
Yes.
Yes.
100%. Yeah.
Gee, yeah. I didn't even get a chance to say it.
No,
good value for Rao. He's been on fire, one of the most potent mids that we've seen this year.
I think you can trust the Gold Coast midfielders at home. So they're in my same game, Maldi. So Rao is in there with the value. Noah Anderson, pretty much every week, he's getting around that 30 mark at the moment. Miller and Malcolm Rosas Jr. rounds us out to $5. Can you see the Hawks playing a game here? I mean, they were very good last week.
They were, but I don't think Collingwood were great. I just think Gold Coast...
You think they play finals too, don't you?
I think Gold Coast will play finals with the ease of their draw. They got the easiest draw of any team.
Gold Coast for you, Kate?
Yeah, Gold Coast for me.
And the disappointing thing about Hawthorn is they haven't started well. So if they can start well, we're not sure what they can deliver after the first quarter.
And Ginnivan, you happy with his form?
Yeah, I actually really like what Ginnivan's been doing.
Nice work. Okay, everyone on the Gold Coast here, Ginnivan fan as well. Plenty more still to come.
Three years ago, Isaac Smith, when he left Hawthorn, went to Geelong. Now, I understand that Melbourne was the other club who was strongly interested in him. Now, did you get to sit down and have a presentation with Isaac? And what did it? Was it not good enough? Was there not pizzazz in it? Not enough sort of bickies in the bag? How come you weren't able to get him over the line here?
That's a great question, Jade. I've been meaning to ask Isaac this for a while now.
I did say to the boys after that 2021 prelim goodie that they'd cost me a flag and cut my dreamy.
Isaac Smith there. So he had the choice between Geelong and Melbourne. So it sets up perfectly for no mates in the media. Okay, clear the air. Why Geelong, no Melbourne?
Well, Jay-Z threw me under the bus there. I had no idea that was coming, but it turned out to be a pretty good decision. Premiership, yeah, North Smith.
But why?
Why? Mm. It was just the right decision at the time, Nathan.
Any other clubs interested at that time?
Yeah, there were. Yeah, but I wanted to go to a contender, and they were the two teams that I genuinely thought were contenders.
All right.
You just got back from Gather Round. I saw you on Saturday night in reasonably good form.
Yeah.
Apart from yourself, who was best on ground?
I think Dale Thomas. Not only probably out on the streets, he had his wife Natasha there, but also on air. I thought he just cleaned everyone.
Sharp, was he?
Yeah, he was very sharp. He was doing his best work.
Kane and I had a fight last week, which I won, obviously.
Kane had a few fights last week.
If you were to fight someone from your own Hawthorn days, who would you think you'd have covered?
Oh, God, not many of them. I don't even know who I'd jump in the ring with.
All right, we'll leave it there. Great answer. Hey, Carlton Adelaide, this is a big game because the Blues are flying at the moment, albeit getting over the line just last week, and they've had some close ones up against Adelaide who can't move the ball at all. I worry about Adelaide, the way they move the ball, Carlton to stifle them. Surely they come out this week and show some sort of pizzazz.
Have to, Brownie, have to. Been slow, boring, wide, and too easy to defend, as Melbourne found out on Thursday night to kick off Gather. And as a player, sometimes there's a game, you sense the enormity of it, and that's got to be this week for Adelaide. So if it's not this week, the season will quickly evaporate. They've got a really difficult draw and the pressure is going to build. So this is the vision that you wanted to highlight. Just watch Melbourne here, how they are able to defend this ball movement. And we see this time and time again. Lateral, backwards, wide. every Melbourne player in front of where this ball is kicked. Now, the best teams in the comp...
The Melbourne players aren't working that hard
exactly.
either to do this.
Yeah, they're just defending it too easily. The best teams, Sydney, Port Adelaide, Geelong, the way they're moving the ball. We're going to see a great kick here, which you highlighted from...
Soligo
into the middle of the ground. And you can see Matt Crouch waving.
That's what they need to do more of.
Don't call for the ball if you're then going to go back off your line.
Had to give that there.
And not give that to Hinge there. So
it has to be a coaching directive, though. And what I would argue, I could contradict this a little bit. I don't think Adelaide, and no one thinks Adelaide are playing good footy at the moment, but they had 23 to 28 shots on goal. So Melbourne's only had 5 extra shots on goal, and Melbourne have got the best team defence in the competition. So that bodes well for Adelaide this week. The other thing I would say is I don't think Carlton are playing very good football at the moment. They're winning, which is great for them.
So you give Adelaide a chance.
They're not hitting their straps, and they're still waiting on Sam Walsh to come back. So whether he comes back this week or not, their best midfielder, who knows? But I feel like Adelaide the last 2 weeks have started to play a little bit better football, and I wouldn't be surprised if they give Carlton a fair run.
$7 to make the 8, as we saw. I had them in my 8 at the start of the year. You didn't, and we've argued about them.
Yeah.
No chance, no value at $7?
Well, I didn't think so the season starting, and they certainly haven't shot any bullets that make you think that they could now.
I lost the fight, and he won that argument.
Okay, so we saw Jake Soligo was a great kick into the middle. So he's been the one player that's played more midfield time, and having a look at that kick, they should get him in there more often. So 59% of centre bounces attended. Rory Laird stepped out for a few. So the more guys like Soligo, Rochelle, Rankin can go in there. So Jake Soligo, he had 27 last week. To do it again, $2.50, it's a pretty good price, or for a same game multi, the 20 plus I think has to go in.
Definitely, and I reckon that percentage only increased because you can't have Berry and Laird and Crouch
just
in the midfield
pace
at the same time. So he's got a bit of speed, he breaks a tackle, he's a good ball user. We talk about it all the time. You'd love to see Rankin in there a bit more. You'd love to see Rochelle have a bit of a look because it's been a bit of a pedestrian midfield.
Why don't they put them in there, Rochelle and Rankin?
They must love Rankin forward, and I can understand that because last week he looked like the player that was most dangerous at ground level inside forward 50. So they think, if we take him out of there, we lose that potency, especially when
Fogg... It's only a 2 minute. You put him in there and you do your work. It's similar to what a Jake Stringer, a Tom Packley does at Sydney. You're not playing up there. You're not running over and over. You do the bounce, you push forward.
Even like Dustin Martin when he was winning Norm Smith medals every year.
It's a win-win.
He was doing the same.
I reckon a trend that came out of COVID was with the shorter game, you play your position and you play it to the best of your ability. I reckon we're starting to see the best teams now tinker with that and do these 2-3-4 minute spurts. And Adelaide, they've got two of the most skillful players in the competition sitting in their forward line. Get them in the game.
Same game multi.
Yeah, let's have a look at that, Brownie, because I just think, look at this. Taylor Walker is due under the roof. Under the roof, I think the forwards get a hold of it. Soligo 25 plus, because he's going to spend just all of his time through the midfield. And Cherry, you can almost rely on him getting 25 plus as well. So some value there, $13. If this comes off, we're leading with this on the show next week.
Absolutely. You can follow that on the feed. Join the feed now and you can explore, copy other punters' best, not just ours, but all sorts of punters. So they're all there, racing, sport, and who you're following on the feed. So get onto that. Let's talk about the next game. It is the Giants up against St Kilda. And good luck to the Saints if they can think they can run through the midfield with the Tsunami, led by Whitfield. Now, the Giants... the Saints have given up a lot of numbers to halfback flankers. Think a couple of weeks ago, 44 disposals to Nick Martin. And this guy, I feel like, I'm starting him at 30. I feel like his disposal line should be at 30 this week.
What I love about Lachie Whitfield, especially under Kingsley now, is I feel like he had a free license to do whatever he wanted pre-Kingsley. Now it looks like he's locked into his role, but now we're seeing the best of Lachie Whitfield because he starts in a position, he starts on his man, and then he gets to work.
See, Brownie loves the kickouts. I love the 1-2. And I reckon he's very good at getting the 1-2.
Well, he takes the kickouts and the 1-2.
And then sometimes it's 3.
And the short handballs. But you want, in saying that and making a joke of it, you want the ball in Lachie Whitfield's hands coming out of their back line.
Absolutely. So the trend is your friend, as I always say. Seb Ross, centre bounce attendances. So players who play more centre bounce time have got a better chance to get the ball than others, as we know. But 95% centre bounce. He was out of the centre bounces for a long time, but the last few weeks he's been back in there and the results don't lie.
Ross the boss has put it on his midfield as well. So I'm not sure if he's looking to hit a big free agent at the end of the year or looking to mix a few things up. But he's not pumped with his midfield.
Are you worried about the Saints? So Ross has been in good form, but their midfield steel and these types, they're very similar even when Owens goes in there.
Well, I'm not in love with their list and I haven't been for multiple years. I like what they're building. They've got some talent there, but I think Ross, especially over the last 18 months, is really starting to turn the screws and make some decisions. Mm.
So Filippo is the one that I think can and has the potential to go to a new level. There's a bit of Marcus Bontempelli about him. So, yeah, second year player, you give him some time, but he's a big body who's got speed and can penetrate with his kick. So a little bit like Rochelli at Adelaide, I'd love to see him spend some more time through the midfield.
Ross has been playing Bradley Hill exclusively on the wing the last few weeks, and the results have been Bradley Hill getting a lot more of the footy. It's funny when you play someone in their best position that they get the ball, isn't it?
Well, and that third quarter on the weekend v Richmond, he changed the game with some of his abilities and his way to take grass, take the ground. He's a beautiful distributor as well. So, yeah, it is amazing.
Is he one of the best runners you've ever played with, Brad Hill, in terms of endurance?
Nah, speed endurance, right. Not endurance. He blows up quickly.
Okay.
Not speed endurance, blows up. Okay, Toby Green had a quiet start to the year by his standards, but last week, it was a highlight reel last week. He kicked the four, and you feel like, again, maybe Wilkie probably goes to Jesse Hogan. Who does Toby Green get?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, because their forward line is stacked. Even Brown's been in really good form. Cadman's shown a bit. And we've been waiting for this, because he did start slowly and they were still winning. You go, well, how's the upside for the Giants? Yeah. If this guy gets going, look out. And he got going in a big way. So I don't know if there is a matchup for him. Maybe it's Stocker or someone like that. And good luck to you, Liam, if you're going to try and stop one of the best medium smalls we've seen in a long, long time. The All-Australian captain was on fire. Look at the 1-2, give and go, and then bang. So their forward line is potent. Their midfield is electric.
If Windhager goes to somebody, if he deploys the tag, who is it? Is it a midfielder or is it Lockie Whitfield? Does he play as a small forward on Lockie Whitfield?
Done a good role on Josh Kelly from memory in the past. Kept him to, it was a couple of disposals in a half. So maybe Josh Kelly's the one.
Josh Kelly's the one. Who would you go with him? Do you like the tag? If you were coaching, would you deploy the tag?
Yeah, I'd deploy the tag. I'd be very much a tag type coach. Whether the tag comes from half forward or from the wing and you deploy it from there, I'm not sure I'd give up one of my A-grade midfielders to deploy a tag. But I just think coaches these days, they've gone away from it a lot, and there's such an asset you can have in using it.
It's always the risk, isn't it? If you're punting someone for 20-plus disposal, then they get sat on. Well, that's those games. We're going to have a look at the Sunday doubleheaders up next. Hello and welcome to In The Back Pocket. Isaac Smith, Kate McCarthy, Kane Corns, the Sunday doubleheader. The first one is down at the Cattery, Geelong up against North Melbourne. And first of all, I want to alert you to, and you probably already know, but North Melbourne have had a lot of goals kicked on them lately. So let's have a look at what they've been able to do and the players that have kicked goals against them. So Hogan and Riccardi, 9 between them. Mackay and Curno, 9 between them. And Danner and Hipwood, obviously a fair amount of goals between them
punters
as well. So now you've got Hawkins, you've got Henry, and you've also got Jeremy Cameron to contend with.
It's one of the great opportunities for the punters all year is whoever plays against North Melbourne, you look at the key forwards and you probably go, okay, there's an opportunity for them to kick a big score. The only problem here is there's three of them, so which one do you go for? You think?
I think Ollie Henry. I think he's going to be the one that cashes in. He's paying $4 for that full plus market. So the two of the others, so Cameron and Hawkins, they play further up the ground. Henry last week, he didn't have I think he had a goal or two last week, but he had 6 shots. So I think he's going to be the one that cashes in for them.
Oliver Henry plays, funny as it seems, closer to goal than actually Tom Hawkins, so he should be good. I like that call. What are you smiling at?
Oliver.
Hey, Charlie Conlon played on Joe Danaher, so he's obviously going to have to pick up one of them this week. He went back. He had 25-plus disposal, which was $18 last week. He also had 11 shots on goal against him for those 25-plus disposals, 5 goals, 4, and a couple of out-of-bounds on the full, and there's a couple that didn't make it, so it might have been 13 shots, but he's got a big job probably on Tom Hawkins.
Yeah, he does. He's obviously had some struggles, but it's not, I know we've seen what he does, we've got his stats, but it's a whole team down at North Melbourne. The defence is just, they cannot defend key forwards. We've seen how many goals they've given up, but they're really struggling against the key forwards.
Never take away the psychology of Tom Hawkins here, though. He did not, I don't think he kicked a goal on the weekend.
Zero.
Against Western Bulldogs.
4 the 2 weeks before that.
And I'm sure in a team meeting this week, Chris Scott will be saying, we are feeding the big fella and we're getting him a big bag this weekend. So he's my pick.
Just fill the big bull.
Yeah, fill him.
In
fill
team
the boots.
Meetings, did you used to, I heard a rumour that you used to make a cricket noise whether Scotty was going too long.
I'm not sure. Scotty never goes too long in his meetings, Brownie.
He's not your coach anymore. Do that again.
How do you take that?
He didn't know it was him. Grant Myers, is he the best entry inside forward 50 player in the competition? Because I've also got Mitch Duncan, who's just as good.
He's like a trick shot entry. Like he's disguised in his ability to trick the defender. So the defender thinks that he's going probably close to the boundary and he can hook it back. And they're on the same page. Watch this with Cameron. The connection here with Jeremy Cameron, he just knows where it's going. There's a small pocket of space and bang, the forwards would love playing with that guy. He plays as a high half forward, comes up, and if they drop off him, look out like the Western Bulldogs.
Not as a high half forward though. I used to run past for the handball receive and try and break the paint from 50 and he was always kicking it. But he's as good as there is in the competition and he sees something. And as you said, it's like a trick play. He sees it, he knows where he's going, looks the other way, then hooks it back.
Well, he's been compared, obviously, to Lionel Messi. We've heard that, comparison. But the player that I think he's really similar to is actually Patrick Mahomes in the NFL. Oh. So he'll look that way and then he'll hit his wide receiver or tight end the other way. And Grian Myers does something really similar with his eyes. He'll know his options on his left. As you said, Kane, he'll look right and then he'll hook the kick back. So he really plays some tricks with the defenders with the way that he will look one way and kick the other.
Pay packets a tad different.
Yeah. Slightly.
Grian Mahomes. Hey, you've been flying, Kate, and you brought it. You said, I need all my bets in because I've been flying. You took the Cats. There was a lot off them at the start of the season. You took them to make the eight at the start of the year for $2 into $1.28.
Yeah, I'm a bit embarrassed. There's a bit on today. We've really pumped me up. So this week will be a horrible week, I reckon. But yeah, I think they're locks. Obviously now they're locks, yeah. I think, to make the top eight. But I thought pre-season and coming into this one, I know that there were no real differences in their list from last year to this year, but Isaac, you've said it yourself. I think last year was a bit of an anomaly for the Cats coming off that premiership, and I think they're really hitting their straps. Them and Melbourne, for me, are the two best teams in the competition at the moment.
They started the year 0-3 last year. They are 4-0 at the moment, and players like Jack Bowes, more midfield time last week, a lot of centre bounces. I thought it was his best game since coming to the Cats.
Well, that's the opportunity for someone like Bowes, because the only area of weakness, as we've discussed right throughout the year, is their midfield. And when you have players like Guthrie and Dangerfield out, you need someone to step up. He's played enough footy now, started across halfback, moved to the midfield. He's a big body. He seems like he's got a good tank, Isaac, and he was excellent last week. So really good opportunity for him to be there for the rest of the year.
Yeah, it is. And the funny thing, Geelong aren't massive in their midfield, but what they are good at is scoring from centre bounce. So when they win a centre bounce or they win a clearance, they tend to be quite potent. They just don't win as many as any other team. So if they can break even, then more often they're going to win their games.
How is that funny?
Well,
you said the funny
thing. Well, the funny thing is that everyone the funny thing is that everyone tears apart their midfield at the moment. So even though their midfield's getting teared apart and everyone's saying they have to be better, they're actually quite potent from that. So
yeah, the funny thing is you got your same game multi up last week in the North Melbourne game. So here it is, $3.30, Brisbane 25+, Brisbane head-to-head, which, you know, about the same thing. Jake Danaher 3 and Charlie Cameron 2 goals. Charlie Cameron had a goal in the first 20 seconds.
And then
until the last quarter. But he's your same game multi this week.
Yeah, I think Tom Hawkins, he won't be happy that he didn't kick a goal last week. He'll be looking for a lot of goals. Jeremy Cameron, I just don't think anyone's going to be able to go with him, even if he plays further up the field. He rips back so hard. And Brad Close, he just always sneaks in for one or two. And I'm not sure they've got a small defender that can go with him.
The final game of the round is West Coast up against Richmond. Now, this is a danger game for the Tigers without many key forwards at the heart. Any key forwards at the moment. I think West Coast pushed Sydney last week. This is a real danger game.
Yeah, so I'm not sure they can win, but if you like the line, he has probably some value there. But they're going to win at least two or three games for the year, West Coast. This would be one that they're circling. No Tom Lynch, a lot of other key players for Richmond out. And West Coast, as you said, were good. I thought they were really competitive in the air. They dominated contested marks. Their senior players, Yeo, McGovern, and also Kelly in good form. And I think Harley Reid's given them a spark with the jumper pull and kicking his first goal. So I think there's a bit to like about West Coast this week.
I think if we hadn't seen the game we saw from them last week, it would be a very different conversation. But I was really impressed by how they turned up, how they competed against the Swans for a good three and a bit quarters, to be honest. I know the Swans ran away with it in the end, but they looked like a very different team. They looked like they cracked in a lot more. It was those things that you can't really measure in a football club, that they wanted to compete. They wanted to put on a better performance. Hadn't won a quarter and still between, I think, the first quarter of that one they lost, hadn't won a quarter up to that, and then ended up going in at halftime with the lead. So I was impressed by them, and I think the Lions probably the way to go.
Can they win?
I think they can win this week.
I've been nothing but impressed with Richmond for every setback they've had, but West Coast could steal this one.
Seems like that, doesn't it? Okay, as I always say, the trend is your friend, and the trend is Ruckman against West Coast. So this is what the Ruckman have done against West Coast this year. So numbers and goals. So Brody Grundy last week, 20-plus disposals. Nan Curvis for 15-plus. I don't often put a Ruckman in there, but 15-plus to go into your same-game multis if he has a breakout game for 20-plus. So I do like Toby Nan Curvis, but probably at the other end, trying to stop those goals is going to be Jeremy McGovern. Now, Richmond's forward half is depleted. It just looks like he's going to mop up everything, and he's been taking the kickouts. He took 7 kickouts last week.
Yeah, 25-plus is probably the value. I'm not sure he gets to 30. It doesn't happen often, but has been in really good form. And these entries here, I think you wanted to highlight just how deep they're trying to kick the ball inside forward 50, which never works.
Yeah, there's still a kick away, really, especially that first one. This one's a little bit better, but that really long, high kick, and especially on a ground like Norwood. Norwood is basically a soccer field. Yeah. So they're trying to go long in a place where you're not defending as much of the ground. So that's still a kick for that inside 50 there. Hit up a short 45. That person then rolls and goes and gets a one-on-one rather than a long, high tower kick.
McGovern
and,
just wraps him up, doesn't he?
If they're going to kick it like that, McGovern is going to have 30-plus.
So you spoke about Harley Reid and obviously showing the jumper. I thought that was symbolic of where his head is at. So I thought it was fantastic. Here is the rising star market, 375.
Hasn't even been nominated yet, Brownie. I think he's a favourite.
I think he's well ahead of George Wardlaw, who's the second favourite right now.
Hasn't even been nominated yet and he's the favourite. There's his numbers there. So he had 18 disposals last week, career best game, kicked a goal. And once you do get the confidence that you can start racking them up, I like him for 20 plus this week. This is the moment, I thought, for a young player. They need some positivity. He sensed that and he's just won everyone over back in Perth by taking on the jumper. And you can't tackle him. I mean, the amount of broken tackles that he had in this game against a good side, he's going to start to emerge as that confidence grows, and it won't be too far away before he's getting 30 plus.
The concern with me is just that 25 plus is he spends a lot of time in the forward line.
So. Well, maybe an upset for the West Coast Eagles. We're going to be back next week. Hope everybody backs a winner.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.